All right, folks, welcome back to the Last Mountain West Wire Football Podcast, Week 13 edition. Happy Thanksgiving. Early show this week, so you're welcome for those long traveling roads you take with whomever you're with. MWWire.com, that's where you're listening to. Jeremy Moss, Matt Kennerly. And we're at the final week, Matt. We're here, unfortunately, I guess. Sort of.
Sadly.
Sadly, but it's also an awesome week, right?
Yeah, like what's that saying about, don't cry because it happened or whatever like that. Smile because I forget what it is.
Hey, if it's
I'm mangling that whole
analogy. It's you for once, right?
Yeah.
It could be the late pizza analogy. It doesn't matter what type of pizza it is. It's usually pretty good or better than no pizza, right?
Oh, okay. It's don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
There we go. That's good.
That's Dr. Seuss for you.
Brilliant. Literary genius, Dr. Seuss.
Yes.
All right. So show is early because we had Thanksgiving games. And we probably would have been early just because it's Thanksgiving week and we got stuff to do. We're busy. We got family. We got not ham to eat, which we'll not discuss because we'll have an article about Thanksgiving sides. Because the ham debate will rage on forever.
That's true.
Not him. That's all I'm going to say. All right, so let's just get to it. Thursday afternoon, it's Colorado State at Air Force. Matt, how many people will show up at this game?
How many does Canvas seat? Like 36,000?
It's actually the Air Force Academy.
Oh, it's at the Air Force. Okay, so that's 46,000. Are we talking like announced attendance or actual people in the seats?
How many people on a TV presentation?
I mean, on TV, it's probably going to look pretty sparse.
Exactly. One good thing going for it, weather's pretty nice. It must be a mild 55 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, if you're a football fan, if you are a cadet at the state, at the academy, which I don't know if they can go home or whatnot, but if you have family in town, go check out the game, right? 55 degrees, mid-afternoon, have a Thanksgiving dinner, not a Thanksgiving afternoon meal, right?
This is like your tune-up for the afternoon meal. You know, because if you go out there, it's, what is it, an 11:30 kickoff Pacific time?
12:30.
Oh, okay, 1:30 Mountain, 12:30 Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you go out there, you enjoy the game, and then you come home and eat.
And you get some stadium food, which is better than – not better, well, sorry, let me rephrase that. Different, because there's only so much turkey and stuffing and potatoes you could have, right?
I will disagree with that, but continue.
Well, it's a good thing, but I'm saying mix it up a little bit. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's a little mix up. And so, or it's your last meal before you gorge yourself of potatoes, turkey, goodness all weekend. So this game's 1:30 p.m. There's a little bit on the line. Air Force has potential outside shot to make a bowl game. We kind of discussed it last week, rambling through what five win teams can get to six. Mm-hmm. Basically, if there's any teams with five wins that go to a bowl game, first up is Air Force because they're smarty pants.
That's true.
And are you surprised it's a 2-touchdown line for the Falcons?
Sort of.
It depends what Rams team shows up, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, we've seen kind of, you know, we haven't really talked about it as much as with teams like San Diego State where it really stands out. But especially lately, the Falcons played a lot of close games. You know, going back to their own game against the Aztecs, you know, they lost that game by 4. And then the week after that, they won at UNLV by 6, and they lost by 10, they lost by 3. Mm-hmm. The only really comfortable game that they've had recently was a couple weeks ago against the New Mexico Lobos. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, it does kind of surprise me. But on the other hand, I think you're right. It kind of depends on what kind of showing we're going to get from the Rams, because they, in comparison, have been less competitive more often.
Yeah, the quarterback change to Colin Hill hasn't gone as planned, which, spoiler, could have told you that. It's actually been worse, which is a little bit surprising because quarterback hasn't been an issue. I would say in this one, it's kind of what we've seen for the Rams. If they can play, 70% defensively efficiency as they did versus Utah State? Because Utah State didn't beat them offensively. The Aggies drove down the field, but they got stalled for field goals. They weren't getting big plays. They lost because of terrible passes by Colin Hill. I was watching the highlights again just the other day just because. He had, both those picks were ridiculously bad. He had, two or three terrible bad passes. But then again, he has that one in the back of the end zone to Preston Williams late in the game, and then the Hail Mary was spot on. So he's hit or miss. If he could be a bit more consistent, and then also look what Izzy Matthews did. The team we saw Saturday versus Utah State is probably the team we thought we'd see all year for the Rams, right?
I mean, yes and no.
Sort
Maybe,
of.
maybe without the
Well, I
turnovers.
mean, well, let me rephrase that. Competitive wise, you know what I mean? Like running game was okay. Passing game, yeah, it could be better. Let me rephrase that. But defense played much better than anyone thought. And so, but maybe not the actual on the field, but I mean, they did compared to what they normally do defensively. They didn't allow any Utah State 3-play 60-yard drives in 10 seconds or 45 seconds.
I think that kind of depends on your perspective
I'm
because,
trying to be positive here.
well, and if you recall, the recap podcast from a couple of days ago, we made mention of the fact that on a per play basis, Utah State was pretty much right there with Colorado State as far as what they were able to do. It was basically, 6.2 to 5.9. And when you dive further into the numbers, you kind of get the sense that it was more of the same because, not only was Utah State nearly as successful on a per play basis, the biggest difference between the two teams is that Colorado State ran 30 more plays. To me, what stands out is that Utah State's running game, while on the surface it doesn't necessarily look terribly impressive because Gerald Bright and Darwin Thompson only had, I think it was 137 yards combined, but they had a 50% combined success rate. And they had an opportunity rate, which is basically just how often they're getting at least 5 yards, of 61%. And that is in keeping with what the Rams have been doing all year long, and especially recently. And it plays on a couple of levels because I went back and I'm always curious as to how teams shake up against this triple option offense. Just twice in the last 10 years, the Rams have held Air Force under 4 yards per carry.
Really? That's
Yeah.
surprising.
Like then going back all the way to 2008, which was as far back as CFBstats.com could go, they've been above 5 yards way more often than they've held them under four. And when you consider that on the season, the Rams still rank 123rd nationally in defensive opportunity rate, they rank 108th in stuff rate, they just don't get push up front. And considering how they played against the run the last month, they didn't really offer a lot of resistance to Boise. They didn't really offer a lot of resistance to Wyoming or Nevada. And so it strikes me as just a particularly bad matchup because that's exactly what Air Force is going to do. They're going to run the ball 50, 60 times. They're going to, keep it away on offense. And,
They can throw.
as long as they avoid the big turnover, which is another one of Colorado State's Achilles heels, I really don't see how this game is going to be terribly competitive.
You're right, because looking at just rushing defense, like you kind of gone over, Air Force rushing defense is very good in league play, and the Rams have had, what did Izzy Matthews have? What he had 100 yards last week, I believe, wasn't that what he ended up having?
Yeah.
So he's been okay of late, but overall we've kind of been lambasting the running attack that has nothing going well. He only has 4 touchdowns on the year. He has like what 500, 600 yards. He has 3 games of 100 yards, but his past 3 games were -5 versus Wyoming, 36 and 100 Nevada, Utah State. So it's like there's no reason for me, even though week 13 that should be the strength of this team, there's no reason we should say it's the strength of their team outside of an it's more abnormal that he gets 100 yards and he doesn't. To have a swing of 105 yards and one of those is negative overall, that's pretty concerning.
I mean, I think the saving grace, if they can avoid turnovers, is that Air Force has still proven to be susceptible to big plays through the air. And if there's one thing that Colorado State's been able to do on a mostly consistent basis, it's getting the ball downfield to Preston Williams and Olabisi Johnson. So, I mean, with as often as Colin Hill has turned the ball over in the past month, it kind of strikes me as a dicey proposition. But if Air Force is able to get a lead, I think it's pretty clear that the Rams are going to have to throw to catch up, and they do have some talent on that side of the ball. But again, it just kind of comes back to, can he make all the throws that he needs to make to keep them in this game?
I don't know. That's the thing.
That's the
That's
question.
it. So what is it? Is it really getting just checking into Preston Williams the whole game? Is that kind of their should be their game plan?
Well, I mean, when you look back at what he's done on the season, that's kind of been their plan. If you look at total targets, for instance, and I got through about two-thirds of the FBS teams on Bill Connolly's stat profile Google sheet, which, as usual, if you haven't checked it out, you should.
Do it every day.
I'm pretty sure that Preston Williams is number one in the country in total targets.
That would not surprise me.
And while his catch rate hasn't necessarily, kept up with as often as he's been thrown the football, right now his catch rate's only 55%. But I think he's doing about as much with the opportunities as can be expected when you know where the ball is going. And that opponents have seen that you can make the highlight catch week after week, and he's still doing it anyway. And so, if I'm Air Force, they're going to be without Jeremy Fegelum for at least the first half of this game, because I think he got thrown out of the Wyoming game last weekend because of a targeting call at the end.
Of course, targeting.
I mean, this is a secondary that has been a little bit dicey here and there. So if Preston Williams can go off, that can give him a chance. But again, just comes down to Colin Hill avoiding the back-breaking play.
All right, so that's true because he had a couple of bad throws. So going back to Air Force offense really quick, is Donald, I know we know you mentioned they're going to run as they do 40, 50, 60 times a game. Is Donald Heyman going to be the real X factor where he goes 5 of 8 for like 125 yards?
I mean, I don't see why not.
I think that could be a difference because let's just say the Rams do play good on good, above average defense against the rush attack, which you said they did last year. Let's just say they play a little bit better. And the Rams, with the Falcons, as we've seen, like who's been running well the past couple weeks, it's kind of been, besides Fagan, it's kind of been a rotating cast of characters a little bit. You see, oh, this guy pops up with 100 yards. This guy had a career high versus this team. And so they only really have two reliable rushers, then obviously Cole Fagan. And I get, well, now you got Caden Ratensburg back there, but you know what I mean? Remsburg, excuse me. But it just seems to be they this is not the team where they have, it's like what you normally see Air Force throughout the years. One guy at the top of the depth chart, you're running back, maybe fullback, majority of the carries. Next guy, then the quarterback. They have like the three guys who get about like 225. If they do that, they'll be fine. But if the Rams have any success stopping them, slowing them down, limit big plays, because that's a huge thing, then I think, even though if the, because here's the thing with the Air Force attack, even if it's not going well, like they're not getting the big 20 plus 25 yard plays on the ground, even 10 yard plays, they still do the same thing. You have to respect any fullback diver option play. So even if that's not going well, they can still do a play action and beat you in the passing game, even though your running game's not doing well. They might not be as, the defense might be, what am I trying to say here, but the, focusing too much on the run, you know what I mean? Like if they're doing the running, if they're stopping the run very well, they are gonna not gonna the DBs aren't gonna step in and move inch closer and closer and closer. They're just gonna play their spot. So
Well, and
that's.
to echo that point, Air Force is still a top 40 team as far as rushing S&P plus. They're still a top 40 team as far as success rate, which to me is another potential mismatch because on defense, Colorado State's own rushing S&P rank is 118th, and they're 118th in defensive success rate too. So they don't necessarily need the big play to grind this defense down.
So what do you think's gonna happen then? Is that gonna be the case, or who do you think? Because it's a big spread. They expect the Falcons to win easily.
Yeah, because what is it now? 14 and a half?
14.5.
I don't know if Air Force is necessarily going to cover that, but I do kind of expect them to keep the Rams at arm's length throughout the game. I kind of expect it to be a little bit of a high scoring game because I think that Colorado State will be able to take advantages of at least some of its opportunities. So I would take the Rams and the points,
Okay.
but I would take Air Force to win. I'm going to say 38 to 30.
That's a lot of points there.
Yeah.
I think it's, I'm with you, it'll be covered, but I think it'll be like 30 to 21.
All
Where,
right.
because if the Rams offense goes, we've seen them score some points. So, all right, next game, it's all Saturday slate. We'll get to Wyoming at New Mexico, where Cowboys are his touchdown favorite. 11:30 Pacific time, 12:30 Mountain time. Clearly, it is on, shoot, is this an AT&T game?
AT&T Sportsnet.
Okay, it didn't mention here. So, the big thing here, Cowboys, similar to Nevada, have been playing quite well of late. And they won last week because the amazing comeback, eight down, what, 13 with 8 minutes left to win the game. It went by eight. So they've won three in a row. They have to win this to be bowl eligible. Here's the thing, though, Matt. They are pretty injured. Vanderwall's done. Or, excuse me, not Vanderwall. Excuse me. Vanderwall's a starter. Chambers is done. Has there been an update on Nyquan Evans yet?
I have not seen anything as of right now.
He had an ankle thing, and so that's an issue because he tried to come back in. He he left the game seemed to be worse off than before. And so if those guys, if here's the thing, if Nico, I know New Mexico's bad, but if Nico Evans doesn't play, it's going to be an ugly game and hard to watch. I don't know. Yeah, Vanderwall came in great. Adrenaline led the team to victory. Awesome. But I just don't know if he's starting the whole game, even though he gets to prepare this whole week, how well they'll do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if losing Chambers is going to mean as much as losing Evans. But I mean, I think we've seen that there's a drop-off in the offensive production when he's not healthy. And, you know, Vanderwall may be... Yeah, he was a little bit lucky to create that comeback last week because he wasn't terribly efficient. Like, he was right around 50% as far as his completion rate is concerned. He was just making plays on big downs when the chips were down.
Sure.
But I mean, on the one hand, we've seen this Wyoming offense flail without its stars. You know, and go back to the Missouri game, for instance, where they lost 40-13. Yeah, they only managed about 3.7 yards per carry, and Javon Bigelow was the high man on the totem pole. He only had 56 yards, and Xavier Valade chipped in with another 35, but it wasn't necessarily that impressive. And so you want to kind of hedge your bets, but then you look at this New Mexico defense that, kind of like we just talked about with Colorado State, hasn't really offered a lot of resistance lately. And I just don't know... We haven't really seen Wyoming enter this situation in the same kind of way that we saw earlier in non-conference play, when they were missing Evans, when they were trying to stick with Vanderwall to see what he can do. So it's a different kind of matchup than we're accustomed to seeing this Cowboys offense deal with. So I really don't blame them for being optimistic.
Yeah. Also, really quick, thank you, YouTube, for having transcripts available more often than not. Nico Evans is day-to-day.
Okay.
With that ankle injury, which, who knows, he has a whole week. We are recording, again, we're recording this Tuesday morning, essentially, early Tuesday afternoon. So a lot of information will come out probably. So look for our previews and stuff. Look for our keys to victory, those type of things, where that information, if it becomes updated, we'll have it for you. But as of right now, day-to-day, ankle. But you saw how he came back in. He tried to come in, and it was even worse. I don't think he'll play. But I mean, does it matter, though? Does it matter? Because New Mexico offense is garbage.
Well, and like we just talked about with Colorado State or defense, you know, New Mexico's run game, at least in the last couple of weeks, against Air Force and Boise State, you know, the Broncos averaged over 5.5 yards per carry. The Falcons were over 7 yards per carry, and they had 6 total touchdowns between them. So... even without Evans, I think, like I said, I think you can feel good about Bigelow's and Valade's chances to actually do something for once. Because this is not a great front six that New Mexico has.
No, so you think no matter who's back there, the running game should be successful enough?
I mean, even if it's not as explosive as it has looked with Evans in the backfield, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt he's given the offense a shot in the arm, especially with Chambers back there with him. Mm-hmm. But I really don't see them regressing as much as they did in September, basically. I think the best case scenario is they kind of look like they did against New Mexico State, where, you know, it was fine, and the defense really did a lot of the heavy lifting to dominate in that particular matchup, which, you know, we know Sherron Jones is probably going to be under center again. And he's been kind of up and down throughout the season. And if the defense can continue playing at the same level it has been lately, then, you know, they've been basically playing really well since the Fresno State game. That's, you know, that was over a month ago. So maybe a little better late than never in this particular instance, but the Wyoming defense has really come around and started to play a little bit better. And so they should have an advantage on both sides of the ball regardless of whether they have their best playmakers or not.
Did we discuss in a recap about New Mexico kind of being banged up on defense?
We did.
Okay, I was making sure I'm looking for stuff because everything seems to run together this time of year. So I should just mention that again real quick if you never listened or you turned in now for whatever reason because you found us. Thank you very much. There could be some defensive changes, which we'll see how that goes because you have like guys like Cody Baker may not play, didn't play much. He could be out this week. So... but what I was going to get at, I was just looking over that. So that's one thing to look for, too, which could help Wyoming's offense with if they're going up against New Mexico's backups. But So, Matt, real quick, let's get to score things. We got to make this quick. The over-under on this game is 45 points. Take the under. I don't care what you say. I could seriously see this game being like 13 to 3.
Think so?
It convinced me not. Why should it be more? Assuming, well, caveat, Nico Evans doesn't play. If he doesn't play, this, like, whoever gets the two touchdowns might win this one.
So then, should we give maybe two different potential scores?
Sure, since it's early in the week, I will go with it. I will do this. I say Wyoming's winning regardless.
Okay.
So I'll go with that. They're going to win Bee Bowl eligible, which I will eat crow because I'm like, no way they do this because they've been playing terrible. So they're going to be bowl eligible. Hopefully they get to a spot. If Nico Evans does not play, I won't go as low as 13 to 3, but I could see like 17 to 10.
Okay.
And that would basically give a push since do I have to pick the cover or not? Is that what should I do there? Because it just touched on line here, Matt. I have to pick one or the other, don't I?
No.
I'll do this. No, I'll go 17 to 9. No touchdowns for the Lobos. There we go.
See, that maybe brings up one last point that's worth noting. Can we shout out Cooper Roth real quick?
Of course, Lou Groh's a finalist.
Yeah, not the guy we expected to come out of the Mountain West in that regard, but there's no doubt he's having a really good year.
Correct. So that could make a difference. And also, same nice weather as in Colorado Springs, mid 50s, upper 50s, actually. If Nico does play, it'll be like, it won't be that much different, but I think it might be like 27 to 10. Like, they may get another touchdown or some more points because they moved the ball better.
I mean, I think with Evans, it's probably going to be something like 20-7. Without him, I'll say 16-7, but
Okay.
regardless, I would take Wyoming in the points.
All right, let's take a quick break, really quick. Up next, the good old San Jose State Fresno State, Matt, which it goes for the Valley Trophy, is that correct?
That is correct.
ESPNU, an interesting kick time, 4 p.m. Pacific.
For once.
Is this the first afternoon game for the Spartans this year? Or I mean for the Bulldogs? At home?
Yeah, I think so, because Idaho was a late kickoff.
Toledo, right?
Toledo was a late kickoff. San
Obviously,
Diego State was a
State.
late kickoff. Yeah, I think it was.
Okay, just curious. So, are you going to go head out to this game since it's an afternoon kick, maybe?
No, unfortunately, I will be in Southern California this
That's
weekend.
right. So, have fun with that. So, also, would you want to be at the game, really? I guess you being out of football games is always fun, right?
Yes, it is.
So, this matchup, interesting. Where's the line here? I see ticket prices. Matt, would you pay, if you're in town and had to pay, would you pay $23 to go watch this game?
Sure, why not?
Okay, I'm gonna give the scores right now for its team ranking and in a number fire.
Okay.
Over under is only 51 points. Not very many, right? The spread is 31.
Yes, it is.
The score predictions, number fire, 40 to 8.5. Team rankings, 40.6 to 11.
It is, they expect it to be pretty lopsided.
Do we have a status update of Mont of Josh Love? Is he gonna be playing?
I have not seen anything. Looking at the depth chart as of a couple of days ago, Josh Love or Michael Carello.
Okay, Michael Carr did all right. It's still or as of right now, running back Tyler Nevins, Josh Oliver to get him the ball all the time. But so for here's the thing about Fresno State because this we're doing this before the playoff rankings are out. Fresno State is in line. They're not in line. They have potential to make a New Year's Six game. Also, they cannot host a Mountain West title game regardless.
No.
After I went through a double check, so if they win, they might be ranked Tuesday night. I'm not sure if they win, they might be ranked next week. I don't know. We'll see. The week after, I should say. No, they don't even do a playoff ranking off Selection Sunday, do they?
Yes, they do.
Well, I mean the final ones, right? On the second. So we will know if they're ranked or not, but it may not matter. Well, whatever. We don't need to go that far ahead. Here's the thing. They need to win and probably win big to do something, move the needle a little bit. Because if they win out, if they beat San Jose and then either Boise or Utah State, an American West champ wins, so they're in, right? Simple as that, right? Easy peasy. There you go. No big deal.
Simple.
Just have Central Florida lose because
Yeah,
they're.
and I mean, maybe it just bears repeating because I wrote about it yesterday. So if you haven't checked out the article, go do that. But I mentioned it on the recap podcast. It's pretty simple. No matter whether you're rooting for Fresno, Utah State, or Boise, you root against South Florida, you root against whoever comes out of the AAC West, and that's pretty much it.
Against South Florida, you mean Central Florida?
Or against UCF, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, watch that game, UCF, UCF. But this
And
matchup.
in the meantime, maybe I should throw something else out there too, because this is something that we were talking about a little bit on Twitter the other day. at this point, you also have to hope rather that the teams that you have beaten can help you out with wins on their own. And so I'm thinking particularly about Wyoming, who we just talked about. I think you want them to be able to beat New Mexico and get bowl eligible.
UCLA.
UCLA, teams
Toledo.
like Toledo, BYU.
BYU, come on, they're playing Utah.
They're playing you. Well, I think you. I mean, that's a game you want to keep an eye on because if BYU can win, that is something that bolsters the case for both Utah State and Boise State.
I think, here's the thing, well, I don't think any of that matters. You know why?
Why is that?
Because if, say, whoever gets American West and say, let's just say Central Florida does not win the conference, it doesn't matter what BYU, UCLA, Toledo, Minnesota, Wyoming does for any team in the conference. You win the conference you're in.
That's true.
So, yeah, scoreboard watch just for curiosity's sake, but just watch UCF South Florida. That's the only game that matters
Yeah,
besides
I
your
guess that's
game.
true.
And so, not to rain on your parade, but I'm saying just it gets a point. Who cares?
Is this our way of avoiding talking about this game?
Sort of. We need to make this preview quick, so this is one of the game we can go skimpy on.
Okay, so
What do you want to see from your
let me
Fresno
just say
State Bulldogs?
this.
What should we see?
I think what I want to see is I want to see them tighten up a little bit in pass coverage. Because while on the whole they were able to keep the Aztecs in check last week, you can't ignore the fact that they were able to land some haymakers deep down the field with the passing game. And regardless of whoever's under center for San Jose State, we already know that they've got some guys who can go and get it down the field. It hasn't always been an element, a reliable element of their offense. But I mean, at this point, Josh Oliver's averaging 12 yards a catch. Trey Hartley's averaging 15 yards a catch. And Trey Walker, do you realize he's averaging almost 22 yards a catch?
That's got to be one of the best in the country.
He only has 28 catches, but he has almost 600 yards. So it strikes me as the kind of game where, even if Tyler Nevins can't get it going on the ground, and I really don't see any reason for him to be able to get much traction. This is the kind of game where they just have to kind of throw it all out there and just take their shots down the field because we've seen it a few times that Fresno State has been susceptible to it. Hawaii was able to land a couple of blows early in their matchup against the Bulldogs. Obviously, we just mentioned San Diego State. And, Boise was able to do the same thing. That was a key element of their upset bid. So if it's going to happen, I think it's going to involve that downfield element.
I think you're right, but I still think they can't go away from Tylan Evans because he's good enough to have a handful of plays.
Yeah,
So,
I mean,
but not good enough to.
I don't think they want to be one-dimensional, but I
Yeah.
think to win this game, they're going to have to be.
And their defense, like if they could pick off McMarion because their secondary is pretty good. We discussed all your breakups, PBUs, defended passes, interceptions. But
That's true.
they're not good. They're not going to win. It's not going to be close. I think they could cover it because 31 points is a lot. But I'm thinking it might be like 30. I'm gonna go 35-10 for Fresno State.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I think maybe it'll be a little bit more than that. I would probably still take San Jose in the points, but I'm going to say 42 to 17.
Okay, I can see that as well. All right, let's get to the next game. Nevada at UNLV. Oh boy, CBS Sports Network, 6:30 Pacific time. Nevada at UNLV. Apparently, there's a lot of Nevada fans who hate this game. Being played. Sorry, I had an awkward pause there for a moment. People in the state of Nevada don't like this game being played this weekend because it's expensive to get to Vegas. People come from out of town. I don't know why they say expensive because I was really looking to go to Las Vegas for Thanksgiving for heck of it. I can get some cheap hotels, so I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong places, right, Matt? Maybe.
Maybe, maybe.
But rivalry weekend is where both these teams wanted to play because the league ask teams, is there a certain game you guys want to move or have on a certain day? Because a lot of people want to have this on Nevada Day, which is, well, October 30th, something like that.
I think
Halloween.
so, yeah.
Somewhere around there. But they want to end of the season because this is when rivalries have been played. We got to give credit to the league for making great games this final weekend where they're not doing crossover games. That's why when we get to Boise State, Utah State division title game on the line, amazing. You have the, I know this game is Nevada UNLV and a couple others, but, are they all divisional games, excuse me, but it's not cross divisional games, which is could be a mess, so like last year. But this game, Nevada's a 12.5 point favorite. I don't know what to make of this UNLV team because they brought in Rogers versus Hawaii and he did nothing against a bad Hawaii defense.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's listed with an or with Max Gilliam, and I just at this point, I don't know if bringing him back into the fold is the right move. I think you just kind of have to let it ride with Gilliam and then just kind of reload for next year.
I think that's correct. Yeah, that's the smart move to do because the foot injury, especially because, well, he's a quarterback, he runs a lot too, so maybe he's healthy enough to clear the play, but that's a big deal, like foot issues, toe issues, you're hard to run around. Plus, Nevada, don't just say it's because Rodgers isn't playing well or he's not going to play, they're not going to win. Nevada's playing at one of the best teams in the conference. They're about to get their eighth victory, which very few people, excluding me, said that could happen.
That's true. You got that one pretty much right on the head, didn't you?
I'm just saying. They didn't chat. Well, actually, yeah. I said they'd get one upset victory. I guess the Aztec victory did count because they did say they'd get one of the top three teams. So, boom, I got that right. But they've been playing quite well. Their defense, like you said, they get to the quarterback. And what UNLV, what they can do, Lexington Thomas and even Charles Williams in one game have played pretty well of late. That's how they're going to beat Nevada, if they can run the ball and run well. Because that's, I think, really their only way they can do something against this Nevada defense. Passing the ball, Gilliam's been, even Rodgers has been wildly consistent. Yes, they've had multiple touchdown games, but also multiple interception games, or taking too many throws to get a high yardage throughout the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like throwing around 50%, but having good yardage, but that percentage-wise, completing every other pass is not going to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to be easier said than done, though, because when you look at Nevada's their own stat profile, you know, they're right around the top 40 in both stuff rate and opportunity rate on defense. So they, you know, they might be tempted to feed Lexington Thomas and, you know, Charles Williams and everybody else in that backfield, but that isn't necessarily a guarantee for success. I think that they might be better trying to take their chances downfield, like we've seen them try in the past. I mean, I look at this matchup and I think that, you know, Nevada's been playing well on pretty much every front for at least the last month now. So I don't know if there's any particularly easy answers for the Rebels in this matchup.
Did you know, in conference play only, Nevada is 30 yards per play allowed, better than Wyoming? Better than Wyoming in yards per play allowed.
It's not bad.
They have fewer yards per game allowed. They're the number three defense in most categories in conference play. Which, and when I cycle through non-conference play, they were eighth, averaging five. They've basically gained a yard better, 0.8 yards better in conference play than non-conference play. So they're playing quite well. And here's the thing, you want them to throw, but Malik Reed can get to the quarterback, man. They have guys who can push people around. That's kind of how they were keeping up with Boise State and those close losses they had. They were getting to the quarterback. And so that's why I think they're going to have to run, and then Gilliam or even Rodgers, whoever's back there, can't be erratic. They have to not throw bad passes like Hawaii, because there are some bad throws in that game. But I just don't realistically see a way how UNLV can get the win.
You know who could probably have a really big game this week?
Who you
Someone
got?
we haven't someone we haven't really talked about for a while.
Who's that?
Ty Ganji.
You think so? He better, right? In this game, this matchup?
Because when you break it down by what quarterbacks have done in conference play, do you realize he's very slightly ahead of everybody, but he is number one in the conference as far as yards per game.
Pretty good.
He's been playing really well, and you know, maybe it's our fault that we're not really talking enough about it, because he's completing 65% of his passes, 14 touchdowns against three interceptions in conference play, and a very healthy 8.2 yards per attempt. So that in itself, you know, with McClain Mannix, Caleb Fossum, and Romeo Daubs, who, oh, by the way, he had 100 yards last week in their big win. Those three guys. You know, they could just decide to air it out and really not need Tua Tagovailoa to do much more than play a role that forces UNLV to respect the run. Because if they could torch them early through the air, they could salt the game away with Tua Tagovailoa and Devontae Lee pretty easily, I think.
Sure, and the reason maybe we're not talking about him, Love McMeerion and Rippon all have better numbers than him overall, and they're closer to 70% than 65%.
Yeah, I mean it's
It's
all. I mean it's
tough.
kind of relative because it's not saying that Taiganji is like so far below them.
No, I mean
It's
he's
just
close,
that
barely.
Ripon and McMarion have been playing really well, especially in conference play, and
And
Jordan, of
yeah,
course.
love. It's just yeah, it's just, I would that was my point. I'm just saying because he's been just below, and they it's people are have people haven't been paying attention to the Wolfpack. So I think they're gonna win. That point total, he kind of gets me a little bit. 12 and a half. Actually, I think I'm gonna go bold. They're gonna do it
All right.
because over under 62 and a half. I think they're giving UNLV too much credit to score points. I think it's going to be one of the Nevada finally get a decent sized victory and win like I'm gonna go 38-17.
See, it's funny you mentioned that. That was going to be my score too.
But you have UNLV winning, right? Is that the only difference?
No, I do not. I would definitely take Nevada. I would lay the points, and I was going to say 38-17. So
Good.
great
Well,
minds think alike. Let's stick with that.
all right, it's a big victory. All right, now we go to Hawaii, San Diego State, where Hawaii breathed a sigh of relief last week to become bowl eligible, and we discussed the oddness of the comments from coaches about where San Diego State could play. But Aztecs are a big 17-point favorite at home. It's on ESPNU, so not CBS Sports Network, folks. ESPNU, the good old 7:30 Pacific standard kick time for the Aztecs, and I think what we want to see is going to start for quarterback.
That is an excellent question. As of right now, the depth chart does list Cole McDonald in the QB1 spot.
Is it the same depth chart all year, or they just do pull Utah State from a couple years ago?
I mean, it has.
I have to ask that every time because you never know.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, they did take Jelani Tavai out the middle linebacker spot,
Okay.
so so I'm assuming that they're updating it every so often, at least.
One thing, Sandy's not too happy about, well, Player of the Week awards we saw it was Tyler Vanderwall. Apparently, the guys at Hawaii World, Steven Stein was not happy Cordero did not win Player of the Week.
I mean, I guess I could see that. I mean, the only counter argument would be you have to play more than a quarter to really
I
qualify.
know.
You have to at least play 2 quarters. I think Jordan Love set that precedent. We can call that the Jordan Love rule.
There you go. Yeah, Jordan Love rule. That's a thing going forward now. But who should start? Should Cord I think Cordero should start.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty clear at this point that Cole McDonald hasn't been quite the same quarterback that he was early in the year, because there's been a big difference between what he was able to accomplish in non-conference play versus conference play. And maybe some of that is because the competition has caught up with him a little bit, but his overall passer rating has dropped by almost 40 points. And while he still has a touchdown and interception ratio of slightly more than 2-1, it's 13-6. We just talked about the fact that we're not talking about Taiganji enough. But McDonald's own numbers just kind of pale in comparison to not only what he was doing earlier in the year, but what other quarterbacks in the conference are doing. And it really kind of came to a head last week against a UNLV defense that, let's not beat around the bush, that pass defense is not good. And
Yeah.
so I think if it were me, you have bowl eligibility wrapped up. I think I would probably go with Cordero personally,
So
because I
he's.
think you would give him an extended audition. And I think it would be an interesting situation to put him into, because San Diego State's pass defense for the most part has been pretty rock solid this year.
Yeah, and so would this mean who starts? Do they get the bowl start then?
I mean, I think that I would maybe play it by ear.
Okay,
But I think for this week, I would probably go with Cordero.
so is San Diego State having nothing, not nothing to play for? They still don't win and do all that stuff. But what do you like? What would they be doing? Like, we've seen them still go back and forth, Agnew and Chapman. It just makes no sense. You know what I
I
mean?
really
Like,
don't see a reason to play Ryan Agnew.
me neither. That's my point. Why are they going back and forth? Because they said Chapman's been healthy for like 3 weeks by now.
And he too is listed at QB1 on their own depth chart, so I'm not sure.
Is
I
that
mean, I
different?
haven't heard anything that they're going to do anything different on offense, but playing two quarterbacks when you don't really have to. I mean, especially since going from facing Fresno State's defense to Hawaii's defense is a huge difference. Hawaii's own pass rush, for instance, has been kind of hit and miss for a long time. So I think that if they go back to Chapman, which again, if it were me, I would, I don't necessarily think he's going to face that much pressure anymore, because while Hawaii is, fourth overall in sacks on the year, half of that came in non-conference play, and they've been more middle of the pack as far as developing their pass rush in conference play. So they don't really have one standout guy that San Diego State's going to have to scheme for. Maybe if he gets sacked once or twice, that, is not necessarily that big of a setback, I don't think. I think they should be able to play their game, which is, run, play action, and play defense, and keep it competitive, if nothing else.
What I want to see really quick as we their score prediction here is Juwan Washington actually play better, because they have issues on the offensive line. Get that straightened out before they have at least 3 weeks off to prepare for whatever bowl game they're in. So I think get him out there, get him going, get the offensive line up and running, we'll be fine. But I Aztecs a win. Their offense hasn't inspired me much. The 17 points is a ton. Even though the over-under is ridiculously low at 54 for that many points. Not quite Fresno San Jose State level, but I think it might. I'm going to go kind of low. Like it might be like 30 to 10. As for total points, I should say. Maybe because I don't see Hawaii getting any points against this defense.
You don't think so?
Not that many. So I think like 30 to 10 is what it's going to be.
I think it's going to be a lot closer than anybody
Ooh,
anticipates.
why is that?
Because I don't want to say that Hawaii is, completely devoid of offensive talent. Like we just talked about earlier with Fresno State, in their own susceptibility to big plays down the field. Let's not forget that San Diego State had the same problem, where they got beat a few times themselves. And so if McDonald can at least get to 60% in his completions, it's not like John Ursua, who, by the way, was probably robbed of a Biletnikoff finalist spot. It's not like he's all of a sudden dropped off the map. We saw him haul in a game-winning touchdown last week. And Cedric Bird and JoJo Ward right next to him, they have 16 touchdowns between them and 115 catches. So a lot of it is going to come down to the quarterback. And if he can rebound a little bit, which I think he will. I mean, I think he's going to take some hits from the San Diego State attack. But I think I would probably take Hawaii in the points. Should I do it?
Do it. Go for it. Stupid upset pick.
You know what? I'm going to call it a stupid upset pick. I'm going to say Hawaii 28, San Diego State 27.
Go for it. Boom.
All right.
All right, so let's get to the big game, right? Is this it?
Yes, this is
So,
it.
as for a side note, really quick, we'll discuss this now. We'll also discuss this because me and our good buddy Raj on Wednesday sometime for a bonus podcast, New Year's 6 Day stuff, because why not? It's fun. So, you'll have more Utah State Boise in that game. This game, Saturday night. ESPN, 8:15 Mountain Time, 7:15 Pacific Time. Number 25, Boise State, home. Utah State, 23 on the road. Broncos are now a 2.5 point home favorite. This better be good, right? This better be worth it.
Oh, it's going to be worth it. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Okay, I have my pick. I'm going to, well, I already have, well, people already buy, say I'm biased for whatever team, but here's the thing. BJ Raines of the Idaho Press Tribune at the press conference just now. Brett Rippon, if you check my Twitter feed currently at Jerry Moss, folks, I put a tweet out because it goes along, Matt, with our opening statement about Thanksgiving food. Brett Rippon's team ham.
Just one more reason why he was our number one pick in the top 50 in the preseason.
Maybe your number. I don't remember my number one pick, so I could say your number one pick. I don't recall who I did. It may have been him. I don't remember if it was or not. But just saying, he's a ham guy. However, he's with me saying turkey's kind of okay. So I'm like, all right, I could see that.
Oh, come okay, now.
No, I like to. No,
Now I'm losing a little bit of favor.
no, no, no. For me, in that, or
No,
well,
for Brett Rippin.
a turkey is, if it's cooked bad, it's just terrible. Which can be go for any food, right? But turkey, it's, you gotta dress it up a little bit, right? Just having plain turkey is not the way to go.
Well,
However,
speak for yourself, but continue.
okay, that's fine. That's fine. All right. So the game itself. This game decides a lot because the winner wins the division and hosts the conference title game against Fresno State. I know we were short on time here, but where should we really start, man? What's the deal? Because here's what we'll start with. Utah State. Don't play like last week. If we want this to be a fun game and a lot of points like we think it can be, disregard last week. Let's go back to the Jordan Love rule, where maybe he'll play half in this game, they win by 40 points. Probably not going to happen,
No, I don't think that's going to
but
happen.
I want to have a fun
See,
game.
See, I saw a lot of Boise State fans feeling a little more confident because, like, oh my
Careful.
God, Colorado State's hanging with these guys, then we should definitely be able to do something in this game.
BYU, excuse me, coming in.
And that was going to be what I
Nevada.
pointed out because
Well, maybe more BYU.
what these two teams have in common is they have both been tested multiple times, and because they're both really good teams, they have found a way to win. Not only the BYU game, but they survived on the road at Nevada. Utah State survived on the road at Wyoming. And so I don't know that you can necessarily take anything away from those situations other than to say these are teams that know how to adjust and find different ways to win when the things that they normally do aren't working. We've seen Boise State win with defense. We've seen them have to outscore teams, and we've seen the same thing from Utah State. I guess what I'll start by saying is, at a glance, I think the Aggies are a better matchup across the board than Fresno State is. I think that we haven't really talked about Utah State's offensive line enough, but
They're really good.
they're really good.
Ficklin.
I would say that when you look at the offensive lines around the conference, they're probably the best one. And not only because they've done a really good job of keeping Jordan Love upright, I think that's one of the things you start by looking at is Boise State's pass rush, which they were able to get home more often than I thought they might be able to against Fresno State a couple weeks ago. And even though McMarion and Love's overall sack rate is a little bit pretty similar to one another, I don't think there's any doubt that the system that Utah State runs is going to be designed to get the ball out a lot quicker. And so
Yeah.
that's one part of the chess match. Curtis Weaver could have a big game, or he could get stonewalled by Roman Andrews and Sean Taylor on the outside. I think it's also fair to say that Utah State has a much better running game than Fresno State does. And as we just
You mean
talked about,
Boise State?
or no, than Fresno State.
Oh, sorry. What?
Because that was the other kind of big matchup that Boise State
Oh,
keeps
gotcha,
top on.
I see.
And let's not forget, like we just talked about, on a per play basis, Utah State was right there with Colorado State last week. So we know that the Broncos are a little bit banged up in the middle, although they do have Sonatane Louis back at the top of the depth chart. They have Chase Otata, who has been nicked up right next to him at defensive tackle. But how well the Broncos can contain Darwin Thompson and Gerald Bright is going to be another key point in this game. Because even if they just have their average game, that I think is going to put Boise State on its back foot. I think that they need to stop the running game in order to force Jordan Love to make plays.
Which I think he can, though. That's
You
the
think
thing.
so? I feel like all of these things I'm talking about are 50-50 things where I could see them playing out both
Well, they are,
ways.
but what I'm saying is, like, if they stop the running game, why can't Jordan Love make plays?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I think that Boise State in pass defense has been, they've been okay overall. If you look at it by opponent's passer rating, for instance, in conference play, they rank 7th. But again, you got to go back to these games that they played close and late. And they found a way to win against BYU. They found a way to win against Air Force. And a lot of that came down to the guys in the secondary. So I think it's fair to say that whoever's back there, whether it's Avery Williams, Tyler Horton, or the safeties, Jordan Happel and Kekua Nawahini, it wouldn't surprise me if they decide to test them between the numbers. Hit the up tempo, run on first or second down, go play action and see what they can get over the middle with someone like Jalen Green or Dax Raymond or something like that.
Did you know I'm going through the offensive line starts real quick as you're doing that? So, every game, they've had the same offensive line, four of the five same starters, outside of, I'm trying to scroll through here real quick, outside of, who is it? Andrews missed a couple games. But they've had the same four of the five starting offensive linemen every game this year. The only difference,
Continuity
yeah,
matters.
Aliafua was there for as it took over for Andrews, or not Andrews, but, Edwards was, sorry, Edwards was out a little bit, that's who it was. Andrews just switched over a spot. So Edwards missed a couple games. So they've had four of the five starters every game, except for a couple. That's a big deal. One thing I noticed too, I'm looking at Twitter. I don't know why Boise State fans are doing this. I'm like, wow, Utah State, they're only built to win now. That's it. They lose all these starters. Four of the five offensive linemen are gone next year. Why are you caring about next year, guys? Your game is 4 days away. Who cares about 2019? Who cares if Boise State always wins 10 games a year? You should be worried about this week, not going forward. I just kind of popped in the conversation and didn't comment, but looked. I'm like, why are you even bringing that up, really? What's the point? Was it say Boise State should win because they're the better program because they have been the past 20 years? Yeah, so, but this is a one-week game in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be close regardless. Like this, we know Utah State's schedule. They lucked out not playing Fresno State, San Diego State, or Nevada of the West. BYU hasn't been very good this year, who, by the way, they crushed where Boise State struggled with and nearly lost to a freshman quarterback on the road. At home, to a freshman quarterback driving down the field. So the differences in these teams are very minute because you mentioned a running game for Utah State, and Alexander Mattison the past couple games has finally shown to be really good, like what we thought he'd be all year, 100-plus yards the past couple games. And so if he steps up and Ripon plays what he can do, it's going to be you can't have any off passes. Like, not that bad Brent Ripon would show up, but look at the pick. Like, I think Utah State has 11 or 12 non-offensive touchdowns. They could score in a pick six. Boise State's had special teams issues. Utah State's pretty good returning the ball. What if there's a bad snap because of whatever, like the Oklahoma State game, or there's something going on where they fumble a kick, which Utah State did as well against Colorado State in the frozen cold weather. This game temperature, just for the record, upper mid-40s. Should be, it's going to be night cold, but about 40. So that may not be too much of an issue compared to snow and icy field and rock hard football. But like to say, like if you go who's better at each position, like both quarterbacks are really good, probably give the slight edge to Love just because running game, like I said, just because the combination Utah State has a slight edge, but it's not like huge. It's like very small because Boise State has one guy. Utah State has two options. Receiving, it's a wash, I think. I mean, Sean Monster, look what he did. Who figured he'd score three touchdowns versus New Mexico? And then you got Rontavian Carver and other guys. You got Rockamore and Utah State's defense. You got Curtis Weaver. You've got all these guys. Like, the differences are so small. I know Boise State fans will say, oh, Utah State's played nobody. It's like, well, yeah, but they are doing some stuff that Boise couldn't do against the same competition.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is – you know, Boise State's receivers, they were able to win in New Mexico last week without John Hightower.
Yeah,
right?
He was out as well. He didn't suit up.
But Utah State's secondary is a lot better than New Mexico's.
Very much.
And
better.
So, you know, I almost feel like I say the same thing every week is, you know, which Brett Ripon is going to show up.
Is that the difference, you think? Is it if he plays great or not? Is that the
I think it absolutely could be, because if you look at what what Utah State has done in the last month, you know, on the year, they have 18 interceptions, but they have at least two picks in each of the last four games. And while the competition, you know, obviously Brett Ripon is the best quarterback that they've faced in the last month, because you go back and that's New Mexico, Hawaii, San Jose State, and Colorado State. But the point remains the same. They've given themselves opportunities to succeed with short fields. And that's not something you could say from pretty much anybody else that Boise State has faced this year. So, I mean, we've seen San Diego State knock him off his game. And I think that maybe if there's some kind of advantage for Boise State, it's that, you know, if Tipa Galea isn't getting home and David Warder aren't getting home, there's a very good opportunity that those wide receivers are going to be able to test Utah State's defensive backs in a way that they haven't really been tested all year long. Because, you know, on the one hand, the DBs are ranked fourth in the country in overall havoc rate. Like, they've been doing a very good job of not only creating turnovers, but just disrupting plays, basically. But Boise State probably has the best trio of receivers in the conference. And so, yeah, whoever wins that matchup, too, is going to make a tremendous difference. And I don't know. I feel like I end up coming back to the same thing.
Well,
where
true.
It's like, you know, this thing could go one way.
What if
or
Josh
it could
Love
go
plays,
the other way?
Yeah, what if Josh Love plays like he did against Wyoming?
It's like you said, there's no real obvious advantages or disadvantages on either side.
I would say here's my key points. I noticed one thing that is, when I was going through the stats of the offensive line play for Utah State, third down conversion, Boise State is amazing.
Yeah.
I believe they're, 55% conversion rate in Utah State's lower, so that could be an issue.
Here's the key stat. You know, third and long, Boise State has a success rate that ranks second in the country. They've converted on those situations 40% of the time,
and third
which
and long
is almost unheard of.
And that's third and five plus, right?
I believe so,
okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
But even just like by passing downs, for instance, their S&P Plus rank is 13th. So again, Brett Rypien. He's been the man all season long, and if Boise State wants to put this game away, he's going to have to be the man one more time.
So I think the difference could be, it's kind of lame, but special teams, right? We've seen Boise State
It could
screws
be.
because they screwed up more often than Utah State screwed up, right?
Yeah, and maybe that echoes something that I think I mentioned when we were talking about the Fresno State game a couple weeks ago, is Boise State and Utah State again have both been very good about finishing drives. Utah State ranks eighth in the country as far as points per scoring opportunity, which is basically just every trip inside the 40-yard line. Boise State's still right there. They're 26th overall. They're averaging 5 points per. And so it could come down to a situation where if it's, I don't know, fourth and six at the Utah State 35, what is Brian Harsin going to do? Because I wouldn't be shy about putting the
Ooh.
ball in Brett Rypien's hands.
Fourth and six, so it'd be a 52-yard field goal at home, going for a game-winning drive.
Or maybe it's, I don't know, fourth and six from,
The
I would
40.
say, yeah, or something like that. I think those 10 yards from the 40 to the 30-yard line, whenever each team crosses midfield, are going to be extremely crucial. Because if the defenses can make stops, it may come down to which quarterback can make more plays.
So who do you think the better quarterback is?
Oh, that's an unfair question, man.
Okay, let me ask.
That's like asking me if I prefer turkey or ham. The answer is
That's
yes.
an easy question. No, okay. I could say no and say, wait, no, turkey or ham. I would. Who? Okay. Who do you trust to win the game then? I know that's kind of the same question, but if there's a, let's just say either scenario, 4 point game, you got to get a touchdown, 4 to 6 point game, you.
I don't know that there's an obvious answer because we just saw Jordan
I
Love
know.
lead them back. I mean, I think we've seen Brett Rypien do it more often,
Okay, there's that.
but we just saw Jordan Love do the same thing last week.
Was the Wyoming game on the road for Utah State?
Yes, it was.
Okay, that could be interesting because you think about it. At Michigan State, they lose close game. They struggle against Wyoming on the road. They struggle against CSU on the road. The only
They also
convincing.
blew out Hawaii and BYU on the road.
I know. I was getting to this too. I'm just saying. Hey, three's more than two. Three close games and a loss. I'm just trying to think. I'm looking for something, man. You know how it is, this one, right? So
Oh, wow, I know.
that's so why I'm thinking, like, I've been putting Utah State one for all, so do I have to go to Utah State just to make people mad at me?
That is entirely up to you.
Team, we gotta get, I know you gotta go, so let's get the score prediction here. Team ranking and number five both have it a basically a 1.5 point game. Over under 67.5. Do you think, let me ask you this real quick. Do you think there'll be a lot of points?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think they'll blow out the 67.5 over under?
That is a lot harder to decide.
That's a lot. It's not gonna be Monday Night Football, Chiefs Rams for sure. That'd be awesome, but no.
Who you got?
I'm going to Utah State, man. Come on. Aggie up. Aggie all the way. Is that what it's called, right? Is that the right thing?
Aggies all the way,
Aggies
yeah.
all the way.
That's the hashtag.
I got the wrong one for half the year. Aggie up. They
Well, no,
changed
I think they have that one
it.
too.
They changed it on us, right?
I think so. I
I
don't
think
know.
it'll be like whoever has to bubble off, I think it's last. I think it's gonna be like 38-35. That's 71 points, right? No, it's
73.
73, sorry. So it beats the over under. There's gonna be a lot of points because both offenses are good, and I could see, what if Avery Johnson has a kick return? He hasn't done that all year, and he's usually pretty good returning kicks for Boise.
You're talking about Avery
Or
Williams?
sorry, Avery Williams. Sorry, not Avery Johnson's the short basketball player from Spurs back in the 90s. But I think Utah State is going to get it by a little bit because there will be some play that there will be a non-offensive score that'll decide the difference either way. So that's where I'm going. 38-35 Utah State, and they host Fresno State, and they're going to be top 20 in the country in the club. So yeah,
I've had a lot of time. I've had a lot of time to think about this.
too much time maybe.
I've thought about this for a long time. Oh, man, I don't know how you bet against Boise State at home.
I know, because what we saw last week, or
I'm going to
2 weeks
say
ago.
Broncos 35, Aggies 34.
Oh, ooh, 35-34. Let's just hope this is not a blowout either way.
It's going to be a classic. I can guarantee you that.
Once you guarantee that, it's not going to be a classic.
It's
Thanks
going
for
to be a
joking.
classic. Mark it down.
Mark it
Everybody
down, he
out there, if you're
says.
listening, this is going to be a game that you will be talking about for a long, long time.
Is this the best game of the night?
It absolutely
I mean,
is the
no.
best.
I mean, overall, not just the Mountain West. Clearly, it is the best in the conference.
I mean, unless you're scoping out the Apple Cup, which I think is Saturday night.
You have BYU Utah, which I gotta be keeping an eye on just because my Utes are playing. But that's not better than this game. You have, I'm checking the time frame, rankings here, Notre Dame, USC, nobody cares, LSU, A&M. It's the only night game. Like, there's nothing else on Saturday night in the top 25 teams. So this is the game outside of if you want to watch a ranked Utah team crush BYU. Apple Cup is at 6:30 Mountain Time, so it's a couple hours early because I believe it's on Fox,
Gotcha,
I want to say.
gotcha.
Yeah, Fox. So there's no reason not to watch this game, right? And follow us on Twitter at MWC Wire. Hot takes from
Oh
everybody.
yeah, we will be all over this game.
Follow our guys, Raj, Colin, you, Logan, who will be not at the game. Sorry, it's at Boise State. So that's it for our show. Yeah, check us out iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, wherever fine podcasts are sold. And also, Matt, thanks a million for 1 million page views this year. Woohoo!
Yeah, thank you to everybody who listens, reads, shares, et cetera, et cetera.
Or needs to find out what the heck channel Hawaii football is on.
Yes. Yeah, even you people who come to the site once just to make sure that you had the stadium app, we thank you.
Telling you, man, we've had like probably a couple thousand direct links to iTunes and Google. Where's our cut from that? All right.
Exactly.
Just saying. All right, so we'll see you next time. Actually, we'll have our Wednesday show or Thanksgiving show, whenever that may be, with Raj and myself talking probably more in this game and some New Year's Six stuff. And we'll be back Sunday to break down week 13. Until next time, folks.